The bottom line is church attendance is an all-time low. And I understand today I'm preaching to the choir. The folks who are at this service are probably the least apt to need this. But the truth is, a church to attend is a gift from God. And we have to think of it that way. It's a present from our loving Heavenly Father who wants what's best for us, who's pulling for us, who wants to see us do well spiritually. He's in our corner, and so he's provided a place like this to go to church. And it is something that we shouldn't take for granted, because New Testament churches worldwide, folks, I think we know this, they're few and they're far between, aren't they? And so to have one here is a blessing from God. But why should we attend church? Why should we attend church faithfully? I'd like to give you several reasons here today.
The Bible says that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Welcome to Pulpit Power, featuring Pastor Tony Skeving, Senior Pastor of Fargo Baptist Church in Fargo, North Dakota. Today's message was previously preached before a church audience. And now, here's Pastor Skeving.
Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn back to the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel and the 20th chapter. And yes, this is our Back to Church Sunday. And we're going to be talking about being in church and in God's house. 1 Samuel chapter 20, we have a scenario where David is a hero in Israel. He has killed Goliath. He has won battle after battle. And they've started singing songs about how he has slain his 10,000s. At the same time, they're singing songs about the king, Saul's his name, and they're only attributing to him thousands. And of course, the green monster bites King Saul. He's jealous. He's chasing David all over the countryside. He's trying to kill him. And before any of that happens, you have this scenario here where David's actually still kind of in the household of Saul. And there's a special Jewish feast, and he's supposed to be there for it. But he's collaborated with Jonathan, a test that they are conducting here to see if Saul is still ticked. And we're going to look at just one verse, and there's a truth in it. You're going to have to think. It's at the very end of this verse. 1 Samuel chapter 20. And in verse number 18, then Jonathan said to David, tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty. You say, well, what does this have to do with getting back to church and church attendance? Well, you got to use your imagination a little bit. The end of the verse says, and thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty. Empty. You get it? We're going to be talking today about a church to attend is a gift from God. A church to attend is a gift from God. But let's pray before we begin. Father, we come before thee at this time. We ask you to help us to realize what a gift a New Testament church is from thee and what a privilege it is to be able to attend it. Help us to remember the precepts that we'll be discussing. And Father, may it make us more faithful in years to come. We pray now and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. A church to attend is really a gift from God. And yet there are so many that fail to see this. Church attendance is at an all-time low. And that is on our nation. And our nation is kind of the last horizon as far as spirituality goes. The rest of the world is in a greater mess than we are. You've got Europe and they don't know that they don't know, spiritually speaking. And you come over to this side of the pond and you say, well, we're still a Christian nation, are we? Church attendance is at an all-time low. I was reading this recently, and it talks about who actually still goes to church. And not counting weddings and funerals, 38% of Americans say they go to religious services at least once a week. But there's a big difference among demographic groups, with self-reported attendance peaking among older people, women, Southerners, and Baptists, among others. The biggest gap is between the oldest and youngest age group. 60% of people age 65 and older, 60% report attending religious services at least once a week, but among 18 to 30-year-olds, just 28% go that often. And this is according to an ABC News poll. There are other factors. Nearly half of Southerners attend services weekly, substantially more than anywhere else. We call that the Bible Belt. 44% of women go weekly, compared to 32% of men. It follows that among Southern women age 45 and up, weekly church attendance soars to 68%. 47% of Republicans attend church regularly, compared to 38% of Democrats and 29% of Independents. And there's a big difference between Catholic women, where 49% go to church weekly, and Catholic men, where only 26% attend every week. For most Americans, going to religious services means going to church, since 83% of adults in this country are supposedly Christians. 46% of Protestants attend church at least weekly, peaking at 52% of Baptists. Just over two-thirds of Baptists are in the South, far more than anywhere else. The Midwest is next at just 17%. There's one reason church attendance in the South, that's the one reason church attendance in the South is higher than anywhere else. And then there's a gender gap. Fewer Catholics, 38%, report attending church at least on a weekly basis. Men are the reason. As noted, 26% of Catholic men say they attend church that regularly, compared to 42% of Protestant men. There's no difference between Protestant and Catholic women. About half in each group say they go to church at least once a week. And so those are the statistics. And anyway, there are some other things here I think I'm going to hold off on reading to save time here. But the bottom line is church attendance is an all-time low. And I understand today I'm preaching to the choir. The folks who are at this service are probably the least apt to need this. You're the cream of the crop as far as church attendance goes. But the truth is, a church to attend is a gift from God. And we have to think of it that way. It's a present from our loving Heavenly Father who wants what's best for us, who's pulling for us, who wants to see us do well spiritually. He's in our corner, and so he's provided a place like this to go to church. And it's such a privilege, and it is a blessing. And it is something that we shouldn't take for granted, because New Testament churches worldwide, folks, I think we know this, they're few and they're far between, aren't they? And so to have one here is a blessing from God. But why should we attend it? Why should we attend church? Why should we attend church faithfully? I'd like to give you several reasons here today. First of all, we should attend church because it's God's plan. It's God's plan, and we talked about it this past week. The word ekklesia, which is the Greek word for church, found 114 times in our New Testament. The word ekklesia means an assembly or a called out assembly or a congregation. And so really, if we're thinking about what church is, as far as even the most basic principle, it's a place to assemble. It's named after that place to assemble. It's an ekklesia, and it's one of the most basic purposes of church, amongst other things. I know as a church we do a lot of things, but attendance is foundational. If you think about it, Jesus Christ set up a pattern. As you read the four Gospels, you find our Savior having church services, most of the time with his church, which was made up of the 12 apostles. But you do find these larger congregations and places where Christ would preach and hold church services. And sometimes they were on the hillside on the Sea of Galilee, or sometimes they were in the harbor of the Sea of Galilee preaching from a boat. But he had church services, and you can't miss that as you read through the Gospels. And the apostles got it. So after Christ was gone, you find them continuing to have services and people attending those services. And sometimes they're held in an upper room. And sometimes they're held in the temple on the east side on what's known as a Solomon's porch, according to Acts 5:20. And so they were assembling there and they were having these meetings here. In fact, look in Acts chapter 20, if you would. You find here in Acts 20, Paul the apostle, probably 20, 30 years after the time of Christ's ascension, and he's on his third missionary journey, and he's a grizzled veteran. He's actually going back and reinforcing the churches that he started. And so we find him here in Macedonia, and he's having a church service. It's Sunday night. Notice in verse number 7, Luke writes, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow," that's Monday morning he'd leave, "and continued his speech until midnight. Aren't you glad we don't have church services like that around here? Although some of Pastor Weiss's sermons have felt that way. But no, just kidding. But it was a Sunday night, and they're having a church service. This is where Eudeus falls asleep, and he falls down the window and hits the ground. But the point is, notice verse 7 says it's the first day of the week. And the disciples came together to break bread, and notice Paul preached unto them. It's a church service. It's going on. And Paul is still observing this thing of assembling the saints together and having services. You know, years later, you'd find even John the Apostle. He's in exile at that point. He's on the Isle of Patmos. He's working the copper mines. It's punishment for him. That's where he gets the revelation. But he gets it on the Lord's Day. And maybe you missed this. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. What was he doing? Well, he's having a church service. And you might say, well, he was all by himself. Well, he had the Lord, and he really didn't have anyone else. But he was observing, I think, something that he had always observed. It was a custom and a habit for him to have church on Sunday. Now, does God know what's best for us? Certainly he does. And so this whole attendance thing really is God's plan. It's for our good. We come here and we get our batteries charged. We need that. We need our spiritual batteries charged because the world keeps wearing us down, doesn't it? You know, when Christ was going around and he was washing the feet of the disciples, Peter said, not me. And Lord said, well, that don't have anything to do with you. He said, well, wait a minute. You wash everything then. And Jesus makes a statement. He said, no, he that is clean is clean every whit, except his feet in so many words. And what he's saying is, as we walk through this world, there's a picture here symbolic for us. We get our feet dirty. We might still be saved, obviously, and clean every whit, but as you walk through this world, you get your feet dirty, and you get the spiritual edge taken off of you. God's wise enough to know that. And God is wise enough to have set up something for us so that we could come in and get our batteries recharged. We need Bible admonition, folks, don't we? And we need Bible teaching. And one of the reasons we need Bible teaching is because the church is the pillar and ground of the truth, and we can take that truth, we can take that teaching outside of these four walls, and we can help others with it. We're not here to just suck it all in and hoard it to ourselves, but to take it in and use it outside of these four walls to try and be a blessing to somebody else. So we come here and we're taught and we're helped and we're strengthened and we get fellowship like we did a moment ago in there. And we sing songs. We get music, Christian music, like we did a moment ago here. And that strengthens us. And by the way, if we're truly saved and if our hearts are truly right, we crave that. We gravitate to that, don't you? If your heart is right, if you're truly saved, that's what you want. More than staying home, more than watching television, more than going to the mall. You have a priority higher than messing around on the computer and skipping church to do it. There's really nothing that eclipses going to church as far as those things go because you're saved and your heart is right. And that's what you gravitate to. I'll just say that next to my home and next to my family, I would rather be here than anywhere else. I don't know about you. I'd rather be here than the mall. I'd rather be here than messing around at a ball game or someplace else out on a lake fishing or hunting in the woods or whatever else. I want to come here. I look forward to coming here. This is my favorite day of the week. If your heart is right, you love coming to church. And outside of my home and my family, I'd rather be here than anywhere. And by the way, we come here because of my family as well. My family needs this. Your family needs this. Your spouse needs this. We all need this. We need that challenge, don't we? We need that encouragement. It's no wonder God says in his word not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. He's not trying to order us around here. He's telling us something that's for our own good. And we need this. We must have this. We are depraved, folks. I don't know about you. I need this. I'm depraved. I know what the second law of thermodynamics says. Things left to themselves tend to greater randomness and confusion, and we go downhill. I go downhill. And the songwriter, Robert Robinson, was so right when he wrote those words, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. We are prone to leave the God we love. We are prone to wander. And so we need this. And God put this in his plan to keep us from wandering. Speaking of songs, there's another song, and we sung it earlier. Brethren, we have met to worship. And it brings me to my second point. God has given us the gift of church attendance, not only because it's his plan, but secondly, because it's part of our worship. Brethren, we have met to worship. This is corporate worship. We call it that. Worshiping God together. You find in the Bible this thing called corporate worship. You go back in the Old Testament and you find them in a tabernacle worshiping together. You find them in a temple worshiping together. You find them meeting on the Sabbath in synagogues worshiping together. Back in 1986, I got to go to the Holy Land for the first time. There in Nazareth, the old village of Nazareth, you can find the ruins of the old synagogue, just the footprint of it. And I asked the tour guide, where would the podium or the pulpit have been? And they said, probably right here. And I think it's either Luke 4 or Luke 6, where Christ went into that synagogue and he took the scroll of Isaiah and he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for the Lord hath anointed me to preach. And everybody there, heard him talk about the Gentile and got offended and all that and wanted to throw him over the cliff. But everybody there at the synagogue knew him. You know why? Because he'd been going to church, if you will, on the Sabbath there in the synagogue since the time he was a little boy. Our Savior, throughout his life, attended church services, if you will. You get over to the New Testament and you find that the church is now the central place of worship, where we lift up our voices in praise, where we lift up our voices in songs, where we talk about the Lord, where we brag on the Lord, where we teach about the Lord. And by the way, that pleases him. He wants us to know him. You know, during the millennial kingdom, the Bible says that the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. That's something evidently that pleases the Lord. He wants us to know him and to understand him and to familiarize ourselves with our Heavenly Father pleases him, and it's a part of our worship. Now, reading your Bible's fine, and I do read my Bible during the week, and I hope you read your Bible during the week. And I do hope you have your time of worship during the week. We should do that. But I'm telling you, some of the greatest truths I've learned have not been on my own, reading the Bible by myself, as much as they have been being in God's house and learning these things from the man of God in the pulpit. I learned thousands of truths from Pastor Doss over those years sitting in church, listening to the teaching of the Word of God. And I was thinking about it this last week. I've been saved now over 36 years, and I did the math. If I'm in church four times a week or four messages a week, I've either heard or preached myself somewhere around, I think it came out to be 7,500 sermons. Imagine that, 7,500 sermons. It's a lot of teaching, and I never tire of it. My spirit bears witness with it. I don't know about you, but I love to be in the house of God, and I love to learn God's truth. And learning about our God and learning this book is part of our worship. So we assemble together to do so. It's God's plan. It's part of our worship. Thirdly, we attend church because it's an opportunity for us to show our obedience. To show our obedience. Now, let's connect the dots. Because God loves us, he says, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. We look at that as, oh, this grievous commandment. No, his commands are not grievous. Remember that? So he says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and that is in our best interest. So because he loves us, he gives us a place to attend. Because we love him, we trust in his plan enough to say, okay, this is best for us. I need to be there. Now, Christ also added, if you love me, keep my commandments, right? And he also added, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say. So the Lord comes along and he speaks of us assembling together. And because we love God, we trust him and we obey him. And because Christ really is our Lord, we want to obey him and be in his house. And we want to please him. You know, the Bible tells us that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. It's got to be pretty special to die for. Pretty near and dear to the heart of the Lord to give his lifeblood for. And so we have this opportunity to show our obedience to him by obeying it when it says, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. There's a fourth reason that we attend a church, and that is to partake in what I would call a special presence of the Lord. A special presence of God. Look, if you would, in Matthew chapter 18, if you turn back a few pages. I was talking to a Christian gentleman this past Friday night, and I'd never met him, but what a dear man. He's in here somewhere, I think. Just up here visiting from Nevada. But we're talking along, and he made a statement, and he said, I want to be so close to the Lord I can feel his breath. He kept talking, but my mind stopped there, and I thought of that statement. Don't you want the presence of the Lord? Don't you want to sense his presence? In Matthew chapter 18 and in verse number 18, Christ says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." He's talking to his church. He says, "Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." And then he adds this, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Notice there's a special presence in the house of God when we gather together. It's no wonder the New Testament calls the church the house of God. God is here in a special way. God's Spirit is present and it's real. Now, there's a reason for that. First of all, if you're saved, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So God dwells in you individually. But you take all these temples of the Holy Spirit and you bring them together. And you combine them. You know, Peter talked in his epistle in 1 Peter 2:5 about Christ being the cornerstone. Then he kind of uses a little play on words and he says, "You're also lively stones," kind of like little stones, "lively stones, and together you make up a spiritual house." And what he's implying here is, boy, when we get together, it's powerful. God's presence is powerful. There's a spiritual synergy when we get together that you don't get anywhere else. You don't get it alone because God is in the midst of his churches. You find as the book of the Revelation is open, Christ is there and you find him walking in the midst of his churches. I want to be in the presence of our Savior. So we come together because we get the presence of God in a special way. Number five, and I got to go quickly here. We come together to see our spiritual family. We come together in attendance to see our spiritual family, our church family. I was talking to somebody yesterday, somebody been in this church probably 20-some years. And he was referring to an incident, a real setback in the life of his family, and his voice cracked. As he said, "And my church family was there for me. My church family was there for me." You know, we're a church family. And it's heartwarming to see each other each week like this, at this time, to see you here, to pray together, to encourage one another. We're a spiritual family. On that note, there's a sixth reason why we come to church in attendance, and that is to encourage or to edify each other or other believers by being here, by attending. Look, if you would, in Hebrews chapter 10, and you probably think I'm heading toward a certain verse, but it's really a verse next to it I'd like to address. When we don't attend church, we're a stumbling block to others. When we do attend church, we are a stepping stone for others. You see the difference? We are an encouragement. Now, here's the verse you thought I was going toward. It's Hebrews 10:25, which says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." Now, there is something to the exhorting each other by being in church, but what I want you to notice is what is actually said before this statement in verse 24. It says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." And on the heels of that, then it says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." It tells us we are to provoke one another to love and to good works. And then it tells us how? By coming to church. What's that mean? It means that when we come to church, we encourage our other church members, our other church family. We edify each other and we encourage each other. Church attendance is a good testimony. It's a good testimony before the lost even. When they know at work that you're faithful in church and they're not, that says something. But it's a good testimony also to believers, to God's people, to the saved. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So when we let our light shine, and church attendance is certainly a part of that, we glorify our Father which is in heaven. The absence of ourselves from church has a negative effect on others, no matter how you slice it. When they see us unfaithful, it discourages them, or maybe even provokes them not to be faithful. They look at you and maybe you've been saved longer and you know better, and they say, well, they don't even go faithfully. It says that church is not worth going to when we don't go. And it really is not of the Lord, because our actions speak louder than our words, and others are watching us, especially our children, folks, especially our kids. Christ said something about offending these little ones, and I'm telling you, what he says after it is really, it's you'd say that's over the top. Millstone tied around their neck and cast into the depths of the sea. There's something serious about being a stumbling block, folks. And there's something serious about offending these little ones. I would dare not be a bad testimony before my children when it comes to church attendance. I know of a fellow in another church years ago. He had been faithful for many years, and then he got backslidden, and then he got bitter, and then he got upside down in his thinking, and he quit going to church. Bless her heart, his wife was faithful, and they had three boys, and she kept taking the boys. And they'd come home from Sunday morning services, and Dad would be sitting there in the easy chair with his Bible open. And he would say, well, I've just been here reading my Bible. And one of the boys would walk over to the television set. Back in those days, they got warm when they'd been on, and feel the TV, and, oh, Dad, TV's warm. They'd all giggle about it. But really, folks, that's not funny. That's sad. That's being a stumbling block. That's tripping up your own children in this case. And honestly, we're very selfish when we're thinking of only ourselves, because church attendance is a golden opportunity to be a stepping stone and to help somebody along, whether it's our family or our church family or the unsaved. And that's why verse 24 says, and let us consider one another. Let's be thinking of others here to provoke unto love and to good works. How? Well, verse 25 says, by not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And personally, I don't want to discourage anyone else from going to church. I never want to do that. That's selfish on my part. God help me to never do that. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you would. You know, a church needs its members, and not just to see you work in the nursery or hand out bulletins or be ushers or ride a bus or teach a Sunday school classroom, but we need each other to be an encouragement to each other, to be here to cheer each other on, to hurt for each other. We find in 1 Corinthians 12, 26, it says, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. I think we get the point. And we are a body. That's what the Bible compares a church to, a body. And in a body, every member of that body is vital. And if there are limbs of the body that are skipping church attendance and church services, there's something missing. Now, why else is a church to attend a gift from God? Well, because it glorifies God. Look, if you would, you're in 1 Corinthians. Just turn back to chapter 10. It glorifies God. We're going to connect a couple of dots here real quickly. Church attendance glorifies God. Now, first of all, we find in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 says, whether therefore you eat or drink, or notice whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. I won't have you turn there. I think you know the verse. I'm going to quote it to be sure I don't mess it up. But in Ephesians 3:21, here's the counterpart of that. It says, of God, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So Ephesians 3:21 tells us that the Lord is glorified by the church. The verse we're in here, 1 Corinthians 10:31, says we are here to bring glory to God. Follow me? So if we're here to bring glory to God, and Christ gets glory in the church, then there's a connection here. We glorify God by honoring his house and being here in attendance. I think it's one of the supreme motives of the saints to glorify the Lord, right? And we do that by attending his house. God has set up church attendance for us. And when we're here, it brings him glory. Let me just say number 8 quickly. We attend church because it's a place to tithe. It's a place to tithe. It all fits. Bible says, bring the tithes into the storehouse. We've talked about this before. You're close enough to look in 1 Corinthians 16. Just turn there if you would. So we are to bring the tithes into the storehouse. The New Testament storehouse is the church. Now, in 1 Corinthians 16, 2, it says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him, notice, in store, there's our word, as God hath prospered him, we're talking financial here, that there be no gathering, Paul says, when I come. He's talking here about a principle of bringing the tithes or bringing the offering there into the storehouse on the first day of the week. And by the way, we use the word bring. God says, bring ye the tithes into the storehouse. Don't send them. Don't go online and click, although that's fine if you're out of town. But you can only bring the tithes into the house of God if you come to the house of God yourself. That makes sense, doesn't it? So we bring the tithes, not send them. It's assumed that we're going to be in church. We're going to be coming to church and we're going to bring in our tithes. And notice it even mentions in verse 2, the first day of the week. It all fits. So why do we attend? Well, we attend to bring our tithes. That's how we tithe. Number 9, we attend because there's a connection to church attendance, believe it or not, and the second coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ. Back in Hebrews 10:25, we read where it said to not forsake the assembly of ourselves together. But the end of that verse says, and so much more as we see the day approaching, right? There's a connection about being in God's house the closer we get to the coming of Christ. And certainly, we're so close to the coming of Christ. And if we really believe that, we don't want to be in the wrong place at the right time, if I could put it that way. Christ could be coming any second. And we don't want to be found laying out of church at the rapture. You know, John speaks in 1 John about those who are going to be ashamed at his coming. I'd hate to be out in the woods hunting or in a fishing boat or at home watching TV or out shopping or just messing around when church is on and the Lord comes back. I'd hate to have that little asterisk next to my name throughout all eternity. You know, well, where was he when the Lord? Oh, he was at the mall. Okay, I'm not saying it's going to be that way, but honestly, we believe in the second coming of Christ, and shouldn't we want to be in the house of God as part of that expectation, being faithful and partaking in something that God has given us to do as a gift? Well, number 10, and this is real quick. Why do we come to church? Why do we attend church? Well, turn to John chapter 20 if you would. Because life-changing decisions are made at church. And if we're not there, I wonder how many life-changing decisions or scenarios we may have missed because we weren't in God's house. We've had some historic services here over the years. I'm telling you, thank God for them. I'm thinking of a historic service that was taking place after the resurrection of Jesus in John chapter 20. We find in verse 19, it says, then the same day of the week, or same day at evening, being the first day of the week, Sunday, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were what? Assembled. For fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. They were assembling like they always did on Sunday. Apparently they had Sunday night services. And we read that and we say, well, they're just huddled together out of fear. No, they were assembled. It was the first day of the week. God mentions all that for us. And Christ shows up. That's what he does when we have church services, right? And notice what he does. He says, peace be unto you. He gives comfort. He gives comfort. Now, we know that Thomas was missing from this church service. He was absent, but here they were, first day of the week, assembled, and Christ wishes them peace, and Thomas doesn't get any of that. So for another whole week, he's all nervous, and he hasn't been in the service. Christ also, if we read on, gives them direction. And so being in the house of God, they know what to do. We find also he gives them gladness. In verse 20, it says, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And so they received some direction and some peace and some gladness and some assurance like we do when we come to the house of God. Life-changing decisions are made at church and direction is given at church. There's one final thing that's a benefit by coming to church. There are many other things. But we come to church, let me put it this way, and I'll explain, for your safety and your health. We attend church for our safety and our health. First of all, our spiritual safety. Let me give you an observation. Christians who miss church are the ones who also drift into false doctrine. They drift into ecumenicism. They drift into compromise. Sometimes their kids end up marrying unsaved people. Sometimes the kids themselves slip through the cracks and don't get saved themselves. There's like this umbrella of protection, at least for some part, by being in the house of God. There is spiritual safety. There's also, I believe, physical safety. And if you think of it, when we're in God's house, when the doors are open, we're in God's will, right? And I think God's will is the safest place that you can be in. I'd rather be in God's will than anywhere. There's no safer place. Thirdly, we come to church for our own health. Let me put it that way. There's many statistics, and I'm going to just skip some articles I had because they're rather lengthy. But there are many studies that have been done that show that people who attend church are healthier, and they live longer, and they are happier, and there's just a whole lot of benefits that come as a result of being in the house of God. And again, I don't have time to get into it, but it all fits. Let me just say in conclusion, if we are saved, we have a loving Heavenly Father. He wants what's best for us, and so He's given us a church to attend. That church is a gift from God, and attending it is really a precious gift from God. Let's take advantage of it, and let's be faithful in the weeks and in the months to come in the house of God.
You've been listening to Pastor Tony Skeving of the Fargo Baptist Church in Fargo, North Dakota. If you would like a CD of today's message, you can obtain one by sending a gift of $2 to Fargo Baptist Church, 3303 23rd Avenue South, Fargo, North Dakota, 58103. That address again, Fargo Baptist Church, 3303 23rd Avenue South, Fargo, North Dakota, 58103. We hope you'll join Pastor Skeving next time right here on Pulpit Power. Pulpit Power is a production of Heaven 88.7.